Good morning and welcome to the Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and today I want to talk a little bit about preachers, today's preachers. I was reading some quotes by some old-time preachers, older preachers, preachers that are gone now. Some of them just really, really struck me, and one of them was by Leonard Ravenhill. If you haven't ever heard any of his sermons, folks, there's a man who could preach a sermon. He would not just get your emotions going, he'd get your conscience working. And that's what preaching's all about. Anybody can get up there and get you on an emotional high. But if a man can get up there and preach and get your conscience actually working and make you start questioning what you are all about, what Jesus is all about, and that man's doing his job. And this Leonard Ravenhill, he could do it. He could preach it. He was an excellent preacher. Loved to listen to him. But he had a lot of quotes that have become popular over the years. But one thing he said that just really struck me was, and I've heard similar things, but he said, if Jesus preached the same message ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. And that's just a fact of life. If Jesus would have been preaching like these guys that call themselves ministers are preaching today, it just absolutely make you go crazy, wouldn't it? Nothing ever happened to him. He'd just be another preacher. He wouldn't have been nobody special, that's for sure. And that's sad, isn't it? Because that's not what this is all about. Jesus was God in the flesh. But today, it's amazing that preachers pick some of the silliest things to talk about. It's like, what's your problem, guys? You can't come up with anything to preach that's the gospel. You got to come up with all these self-help and me things, and there's just nothing they can learn to talk about. But let me tell you what this man had to say. And this boy here, Here's a description of his life in a nutshell. He said, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list. How many of you can say the same thing, huh, folks? Can I say that? Can you say that? How many of us today, in 2012, can really honestly say, my main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list? Now, what list do we seem to be wanting to be on? I can tell you where most of your hearts are at right now. You want to be either the best dad, or you want to be the best salesman. You want to be the best cook. Whatever your profession is, most of the time you say that's what you want to be the best at. That's what you want to. That's your life's ambition, is to get to the top, to be successful, have the, have the house with the white picket fence thing. This life goes by so fast, folks. I've said this before and I say it again. If you got any age on you at all, look back and wonder where those 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years went. They went by so quick. It's just like the blink of an eye, and they're just gone. And you look at someone like myself turning 60 here, and I can tell you, I don't believe for a moment I've got another 60 years to go. So I'm certainly not middle-aged, am I? The average lifespan of the male in America today, I think, is like 70 years old, maybe 74 years old, something like that. Women are about 5 years, so maybe around 75 for men and 80 for women. So, if I'm lucky, I got another 15 years. That's going to go by quick compared to the 60 that's already blown by, right? And what is my life all about? So much we just can't seem to get ourselves on track, can we? You people out there listening, listen to me. If you don't do anything else today, listen to what I'm saying to you. This little old 15 minutes in the morning, make it worth something for you, would you? Irregardless of what age you are, whether you're 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, it doesn't matter. Whatever age you are right now, think about how much time has went by, and think about, you don't know how much time you got left. Whether it's 1 year, 10 years, 20, 40, or 50, you don't know. Maybe it's a day or two. We don't know how long we've got. But you know what? If you truly are a Christian, if you truly are a Christian, and that's the key to the whole statement. If you truly are a Christian, start living for God. Your life will fall into place around you just fine. But start living for God. And you will find out that your wife is happier, you're happier, your children are happier, and you are doing something that has a real meaning to it. So you talk about the purpose-driven life, you know, Rick Warren can call everything he wants a purpose-driven, but I'm telling you what a purpose-driven life is, and that's a life lived for Christ. A life lived to do God's will. And if you're not doing God's will, and believe me, some of you preachers listening out there, you think because you get in the pulpit every Sunday morning, you're doing God's will. That doesn't mean a hill of beans to nobody. It doesn't take anybody special to get up to the pulpit. It takes somebody special to be called to God and to relay God's word to his people. That's the special part. Anybody can walk up to the pulpit and go to school and say, I'm now a preacher. I don't mean a hill of beans to nobody, and especially to God. What means something to God is, are you living for him? Are you doing his will? If you're preaching and you're not doing God's will, you're not doing God's will, therefore you got no business preaching, get out. Quit taking people's money under false pretenses. Quit trying to act like you're something that you're not. And the same with you people out there listening, all you normal folk as you want to call yourselves. Quit being something you're not. Quit acting like you're something you're not. If you truly are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and living for Jesus Christ, you should be doing more for Jesus Christ than you are for anything else in your life. And we all can't hardly say that, can we? And that's a shame. That's a crying shame. We ought to be on our knees begging for forgiveness right now, each and every one of us. Begging the holy God. And there's a secret, folks. Maybe God's not holy to you. Maybe he's not really the holy God that the Bible says to you anyway. We know he is. The Bible says it is. We know he is. But unless he becomes holy to you, then you're just playing games. You're not following God. You're not picking up your cross and daily and following Christ. We've all made a game out of this life, and it's not a game. Christianity is not a game. Church is not a game. Going to heaven, going to hell is not a game. It's a fact. And if your main ambition is, like Leonard Ravenhill's is in life, is to be on the devil's most wanted list, you know, that's pretty great. You know, that's just pretty darn great. And that's a fact. You're going to have to ask yourself some questions. And here's one of them right here. The same author, Leonard Ravenhill, said this. If I was to ask you tonight if you were saved, do you say, yes, I am saved? When? Oh, you know, so-and-so preached and I got baptized and, you know, well, are you saved? What are you saved from? Hell? Are you saved from bitterness? Are you saved from lust? Are you saved from cheating? Are you saved from lying? Are you saved from bad manners? Are you saved from rebellion against your parents? Come on, what are you saved from? That's what Leonard Ravenhill asked, and that's what you got to ask yourself. What am I saved from? If I heard a preacher preaching about, you know, whooping up on my kids and how it was bad, and I started feeling bad about it, got emotional, and he said at the end of the sermon he was preaching, come up front and Jesus will forgive you of your sins. And you go up there and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin for beating up on your kids. You know what? You're not saved. You was up there on an emotional high because you felt bad about whooping up on your kids. It had nothing to do with salvation in the sense of what the Bible preaches. It had nothing to do with it. So you claim to be saved from whooping up on your kids, but what about your sins, all your sins? Did Jesus die for just because to give you permission to save you, excuse me, from, you know, not whooping up on your kids no more? Is that all it was about? You know, you got to know what you're saved from, folk. Ask yourself those questions. What am I saved from? You know, and everybody says the Bible's so hard to read, and sometimes we don't understand it, and it's confusing, but you know what? And here's another good quote by Mr. Ravenhill. I'm just using his quotes today. It says, one of these days, some simple soul will pick up the book of God, read it, and believe it, then the rest of us will be embarrassed. And ain't that the truth? Holy God Almighty in heaven knows that we make the Bible so difficult when it's not difficult at all. There's nothing difficult about the Bible. We make it difficult. Preachers make a habit of making the Bible difficult. That way it gives them more to talk about on Sunday mornings. It gives them more sermon material. It makes them feel important. Makes them feel like they discovered a new little secret about the Bible that maybe you didn't know about. And so they go off on these tangents about weird stuff. Enough to make you sick, ain't it? It's just enough to make you sick. You know, I don't get it. But you know what? Your whole church could be screwed up. And your whole church could go off into deception. But that still doesn't excuse any of us from not following Christ, does it? But we better decide right now. What are we going to do in life? We're going to follow Christ, or we're going to follow ourselves and follow men? You know, here's something that Mr. Ravenhill said is probably the most profound statement that he said that I could relate to. Personally, I mean. He said, many pastors criticize me for taking the gospel so seriously. But do they really think that on judgment day, Christ will chastise me saying, Leonard, you took me too serious? And that's what I get a lot of. People say, you just are so serious about all this. You betcha I'm serious about it. Matter of fact, you can bet your soul that I'm serious about it. I'm dead serious about it, folks. I'm dead. The older I get, as the days, every day that goes by, every minute that goes by, every day, hour, week, month, every year, I just get more and more and more serious about it, because I'm beginning more and more every day to understand just how serious it is. Just how much trouble this old world's in. So think about all of this. Think about what we're doing, and what is life really all about? Is it about just showing up at church and being the hero for a day? I made it to church Sunday. I sure missed you. You didn't make it last Sunday. I sure did miss you. What'd you miss him for? You didn't get a chance to shake his hand and say hi that morning? You know, folks, we got to get more serious than we are. Yeah, it don't hurt to have a little laugh now and then, have a little fun now and then, and, you know, have a get-together and have a barbecue and all those kinds of things in life that you enjoy. But you better include Christ in everything you do, folk. I'm telling you right now, it's just a serious, serious entity that we got to work with here. And the two serious entities are God, you know, Jesus, and the devil. That's the two things that are working, good and bad, and we got to decide who we're going to follow. And if we're going to follow Christ and going to work for Christ and do the will of God, we better start doing it on an every minute of our life basis, because our life's going to be over shortly. And then what are we going to do? Cry for help when it's too late? It doesn't work that way, does it? Listen, I love every one of you guys out there, but I really do worry and weep sometimes, because I'm afraid that we're not doing God's will like we should be. Listen, I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. God bless every one of you. See you in the morning, folks.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you, and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that, and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CampPoint, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.